Good morning, everyone. Welcome to St. Linus Church family. We extend a warm welcome to you and to our visitors as we worship today on the sixth Sunday of Easter. The announcements for the week are as follows. Please join the Knights of Columbus today at 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. in the activities room for the annual Mother's Day brunch. Right to Life Lifespan will have silk-like roses available after Mass for a donation in the narthex. As you leave, please take a baby bottle from the bassinet in the narthex as part of the Project Baby Bottle. Fill it with coins and return it on Father's Day to support We Care. Thank you. There will be a second collection next weekend to benefit St. Vincent de Paul chapter here at St. Linus. Please see page 3 in the bulletin for the meetings this week. Please stand and join in prayer and song.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And the grace and peace of the risen Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Welcome to those who are with us at home. I hope you're making the time switch. How about you? Does it feel a little bit more natural this week? No? Will it take 30 years? Welcome to our May Mass in February weather. I had a thought last night around 12:30. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Around 12:30 last night, I said, I'm glad that my life is not in control of something like hockey gods. Some people's life is, you know. And that would be fickle and unpredictable and sometimes senseless. But our God is faithful. Our God is risen from the dead. Our God is a rock who's always there, who is thoroughly good, who loves us completely. And now we examine our conscience. For the times that we have been indifferent to or taken this love too lightly for the times that we have disobeyed what love has told us to do, so that we might turn to the throne of grace and receive help and mercy and freedom.
Lord Jesus, you raise us to new life. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord Jesus, you forgive us our sins. Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord Jesus, you feed us with your body and blood. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to life everlasting.
Amen. Glory to God in the highest. Sing glory to God. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Glory to God in the highest, sing glory to God. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth.
Let us pray. God our Father, maker of all, the crown of your creation was the Son of Man, born of a woman, but without beginning. He suffered for us, but lives forever. May our mortal lives be crowned with the ultimate joy of rising with him who is Lord forever and ever.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Some who had come down from Judea were instructing the brothers, "Unless you are circumcised according to the Mosaic practice, you cannot be saved." Because there arose no little dissension and debate by Paul and Barnabas with them, it was decided that Paul, Barnabas, and some of the others should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders about this question. The apostles and elders in agreement with the whole church, decided to choose representatives and to send them to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. The ones chosen were Judas, who was called Barsabbas, and Silas, leaders among the brothers. This is the letter delivered by them. The apostles and the elders, your brothers, to the brothers in Antioch, Syria, and Cilicia of Gentile origin. Greetings. Since we have heard that some of our number who went out without any mandate from us have upset you with their teachings and disturbed your peace of mind, we have with one accord decided to choose representatives and to send them to you along with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, who have dedicated their lives to the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we are sending Judas and Silas, who will also convey this same message by word of mouth. It is the decision of the Holy Spirit and of us not to place on you any burden beyond these necessities, namely, to abstain from meat sacrificed to idols, from blood, from meats of strangled animals, and from unlawful marriage. If you keep free of these, you will be doing what is right. Farewell. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let all the earth cry out in joy to the Lord. Let all the earth cry out in joy to the Lord. Let all the earth cry out in joy to the Lord. Let all the earth cry out in joy to the Lord. Cry out in joy to the Lord, all peoples on earth. Sing to the praise of God's name, proclaiming forever, tremendous your deeds for us. Let all the earth cry out in joy to the Lord. Let all the earth cry out in joy to the Lord. Leading your people safe through fire and water, bringing their souls to life. We sing of your glory, your love is eternal. Let all the earth cry out in joy to the Lord. Let all the earth cry out in joy to the Lord. Hearken to me as I sing, my love of the Lord, who answers the prayers of my heart. God leads me in safety from death unto life. Let all the earth cry out in joy to the Lord. Let all the earth cry out in joy to the Lord.
A reading from the book of Revelation. The angel took me in spirit to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming down out of the heaven from God. It gleamed with a splendor of God. Its radiance was like that of a precious stone, like jasper, clear as crystal. It had a massive high wall with 12 gates where 12 angels were stationed, on which names were inscribed, the names of the 12 tribes of the Israelites. There were 3 gates facing east, 3 north, 3 south, and 3 west. The wall of the city had 12 courses of stones as its foundation, on which were inscribed the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb. The city had no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gave it light, and its lamp was the Lamb. The word of the Lord.
Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. Yet the word you hear is not mine, but that of the Father who sent me. I have told you this while I am with you. The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have told you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give it to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. You heard me tell you, I am going away and I will come back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it happens, so that when it happens, you may believe." The Gospel of the Lord.
The first words of our Gospel reading today are these. Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him." Do you want God to make his home with you? You want the Father and the Son to move in. I think we have a constant habit of underestimating what God wants to do with us. Sometimes we'll settle for him just not being mad at us. Sometimes we just want him to leave us alone. We often want him to do things for us just the way we want them to be. Do you really want the Father and the Son to move in and maybe rearrange the furniture? Perhaps invade your privacy. From what John is saying, God wants to dwell in you on earth before you dwell with God in heaven. We always talk about going up to heaven, but we see in the second reading the pattern in the Bible of heaven coming down to earth and making a new heaven and a new earth. God wants to dwell in you on earth before you dwell with him in heaven. Even if you like the furniture the way that it is, who do you think can come up with a better plan? And even if he does invade your privacy, and believe me, he'll poke around, you will become uncomfortable living with God. Even if he does poke around in your privacy, he's really invading your loneliness and your fear. And he's doing it with tender mercy and singular intention to bless. This is what Gregory the Great, we don't have many saints called the Great. This is one of four. Some are proposing John Paul II be added to that list. I would be in that category. Gregory the Great says on this passage, "Consider, dearly beloved, how great is this coming of God as a guest in our hearts. If some rich and powerful friend were to enter your home, you would quickly clean the entire house for fear something there might offend your friend's eye when he entered. Let anyone then who is preparing his inner house for God cleanse away the dirt of his evil deeds. The Lord comes into the heart and makes his home in one who truly loves God and observes his commandments. Since the love of his divine nature so penetrates him that he does not turn away from this love even in times of great temptation. That person truly loves, whose heart does not consent to be overcome by false things." And this is what Augustine says on the same passage about the Father and the Son coming to make their home in you. "God is not too grand to come. He's not too fussy or shy. He's not too proud. On the contrary, he is pleased to come if you do not displease him. Listen to promises he makes. Listen to him indeed, promising..." "Listen to him indeed, promising with pleasure. We shall come to him," he says, "I and the Father." To the one he had earlier called, to Jesus had earlier called his friend, the one who obeys his commandments, the lover of God, the lover of neighbor, he says, "We shall come to him and make our home with him." Is that what you want? Who else would you rather be at home with? Would you rather just be alone? The gospel continues. The advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I told you. The advocate is a translation of the Greek word parakletos, from which we get the sometimes in English translated word, not parakeet, paraclete. But that word doesn't really mean anything in English. It's just a transliteration of the Greek. Here it's translated advocate. It's sometimes translated counselor or helper. It's used five times in John's writings, and interestingly, John uses it to refer to both Jesus and the Holy Spirit. This term, parakletos, translated paraclete, advocate, counselor, helper, is a legal term for an attorney who defends the cause of the accused in a courtroom. Advocate, counselor. It is used of Jesus because he intercedes for us at the right hand of the Father, the Bible says, and he is always there to offer support and strength. The Holy Spirit is here called our advocate because Jesus says he will teach us everything we need to know and remind us of everything that Jesus has said. Sometimes your mind is not clear. Sometimes you don't know what to do. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, I need you now. Come, Holy Spirit, I need a word of wisdom. Come, Holy Spirit, I need something that I don't have right now. The Holy Spirit will remind you of what I have said and lead you in what you need to know. He is elsewhere called the advocate because he will strengthen us when Jesus is gone, in one passage, and in another because he will defend us against the constant accusations of the devil. And anybody who has a spiritual life knows those haranguing lies. This attention to the Holy Spirit prepares us for the work of the Holy Spirit in the next two Sundays. Next week, we celebrate the Feast of the Ascension, a week before Easter. Ascension Thursday on Sunday, remember? In that feast, we're told to wait to be clothed with power from on high. Wait, don't rush off in your own enthusiasm, but wait. To be clothed with power from on high. In 2 weeks, we celebrate the Feast of Pentecost, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon the disciples, the birth of the church, the baptism of thousands, and the pattern for the sacrament of confirmation. That ongoing renewal of the sacrament of the work of the Holy Spirit in us. You need. This is the point. You need the Holy Spirit in order to make your home with God. You can't do it on your own. You need to pray for help from heaven and have confidence that God will hear you. If we desire God to make his home in us, to rearrange the furniture, to poke around, and we receive the work of the advocate, then in the gospel today, Jesus gives his peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. We hear those words in the Mass after the Our Father all the time. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives. Not as the world gives do I give it to you. Peace with God does not mean we deny we're under judgment for the wrong we've done. It doesn't mean absence of conflict. That is what Jesus means when he said he doesn't give peace as the world gives peace. The world gives peace by escaping reality or by violent imposition of will, exerting control. The peace of God comes from forgiveness of sins and preferring the will of God over our own. It comes with abandonment and obedience, not force and control. We'll never know God's peace if we're fighting over Him, if we're fighting with Him over what He wants us to do. Then Jesus says, do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. I think we spend a lot of time being both troubled and afraid. And I think we get troubled and afraid when we don't pay attention to what Jesus says to us. He wants to live in you, but He can't live in a mess. Will you plead with Him to put your house in order? He promises to send you the Advocate. Are you willing to be led into all truth, or is your mind already made up? He will give you His peace. But it's the peace that comes from abandonment and obedience. If you want Him to rearrange the house according to His plan, if your mind isn't already made up, if you truly want what God says, if you're asking for the grace of abandonment of heart and obedience, choosing what is always good, then hear these words of Jesus. Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid.